People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
President Bush uses his veto power the first time, striking down legislation that would have extended the number of stem cell lines available for embryonic research after fused with the federal filings. Saddam Hussein gets absolutely murked, and your boys Ryan and Adam are leaving high school and going to college. That's right, it's 2006, and we're here to count down our favorite movies from that year.
Oh yeah, baby. Let's freaking dive into some of these freaking, oh my God, some of these movies. Like, I'm going absolute comedies on this entire list, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, me too, actually, so.
Yeah.
Movie!
Movie. So I said that this is all comedies except for my number one, which we'll find out if I get to go first or if you get to go first in a matter of seconds. Ryan is going to generate a number on a random number generator between 1 and 10, and I'm going to guess number 3.
Okay, I'm going to go 7. It's 6. I go
first.
Oh my
gosh. Come on.
Okay. Yes! Can you explain to the audience what we're doing here?
Yep, so we're doing a movie draft here. So that means that both Ryan and I will pick our top 5 favorite movies and draft them like an NFL fantasy football draft. So if Ryan picks one that I have, I have to pick another one that I have on honorable mentions. Yeah. And just move
down
our
list. Oopsie doodles.
So whoever gets the best list at the end, although I don't think we've ever really tracked that, it just kind of is what it is the winner of life. So
yeah.
Ryan, what is your number one movie from the year 2006?
Yeah, and just to say quickly, the parameters here is basically watchability, right? It's the thing that out of any movie from the year, what would I watch or want to watch when I'm just feeling like I want to see a gosh dang movie? So not the best movies or objectively best movies of the year, but the ones we want to watch. And my number one movie from 2006 is Talladega Nights, a Ricky Bobby story, baby.
yeah. So, I feel like we're going to be very similar on this list. That one is on my honorable mentions, though, so that'll be interesting.
Yep, Talladega Nights. I don't know what to do with my hands right now. I'm flying
through
the air.
You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby.
If you're not first, you're last. That is just patently not true.
Yeah, no. In fact, you're second.
This is an Adam McKay and Will Ferrell joint starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, along with Sacha Baron Cohen, Leslie Bibb, Jane Lynch, Gary Cole, and Clark Duncan, plus Amy Adams, who shows up a lot here on these lists. For me, just one of the most quotable movies. Honestly, my third favorite Will Ferrell movie, but still from this year, I think the best. I love Talladega Nights so much. It is so stupid, you know?
Yeah, I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt because it says, I want to be formal, but I'm here to party too.
Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, doesn't even know a word yet.
I like to think of Jesus with a giant eagle's wings and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd, but with an angel band, and I'm in the front row and I'm hammered drunk. It is an incredibly quotable movie. I would put that up there with Anchorman quotability, because between Anchorman and Step Brothers, like those are like the two most quotable Will Ferrell movies, I think.
Yes.
This is right there with it.
Yes. Shake.
And Bake.
There it is. Oh, there it God. Is, baby. Slingshot. Engage.
Engage. I'm flying through the air right now. I don't like this. This is not good.
This is not good.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay.
I love that gosh dang movie.
Yeah, we could talk about that movie for a really long time.
Honestly, we should. We should do a whole podcast about it because I like it so much.
Let's do, you know, we could do a Talladega in retrospective.
In retrospect, or we should just, you and I, read the whole script.
You know what? Yes.
Lock it in. What is your number one, baby?
My number one movie is completely different side of the freaking world here. It is Casino Royale, the 007 James Bond Casino Royale. Oh,
that's sick. And I know another movie in this year that you absolutely adore that you didn't pick just now, and I think you'll come to regret that.
Oh, probably. It's probably going to be your number two, which is about it's okay.
But Casino Royale,
I'll give it up for the first entry of Daniel Craig being 007, who arguably is probably one of the best Bonds we've ever had.
Yes, right. He's my Bond.
Yeah, he's my Bond. Well, that's not true. Pierce Brosnan's my Bond.
I mean, Pierce Brosnan's sort of my Bond, actually, now that I think about it. But I think Daniel Day-Lewis, Craig, is the best one.
He's very good. And they had a great cast as well. Obviously, Judi Dench as M, Ava Green, Mads Mikkelsen, which is he's such an underrated actor, man. He's so good.
Dude, Jeffrey Wright in this movie as well, way before he's Bernie in Westworld.
That's right. My gosh. Yeah. It's, this just kind of set up the entire Daniel Craig Bond verse, and he just absolutely knocked it out of the park for most of the movies. There's a couple in there that were meh, but this one is definitely the standout one. Between this and what was that? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, Skyfall. Skyfall. That was the first one to use.
You know what I like about Casino Royale? It's also happening during the poker boom, and they were like, let's do that, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. So that is my number stirred. One.
Shaken, stirred. Don't even care.
Yeah, Casino Royale, so good. And this is where I kind of veer away from like the watchability aspect of our list, because while I can watch this maybe once a year and be happy with it, it's a movie that I hold it in such high regard because of how good it was and how it established this guy as our Bond. And great. Great, great number one for me.
And as previously mentioned, a movie that I believe I'm about to steal right out from Adam's nose. My number two is Beer Fest.
Mm. Beer Fest. If you listened to our favorite movies of all time podcast, I believe that was on my list, so that's a bummer.
I wish it were winter so we could freeze it into ice blocks and skate on it and melt it in the springtime and drink it.
Oh, I love Beer Fest. I've watched this is one of those movies that I've watched, gosh, more times than I can ever count or ever try to count. This was, and you know, we're graduating high school now. We're influenced, Ryan. Going into college, Beer Fest, that was the life I wanted to live. Just getting loaded on beer.
Loaded, dude. You know what my favorite line from Beer Fest is?
Tell me.
I was playing ping pong in Ding Dang.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They shoved a beer pong paddle up my ass.
Been shitting pancakes ever since.
It wasn't the handle. gosh.
Broken Lizard, I think probably. Gosh. Let's go over the list here of Broken Lizard movies.
Super Troopers.
I think it's my second favorite. Yeah, it's my second favorite behind Super Troopers.
Slammin' Salmon.
Of course, Slammin' Salmon. The fraughtfully forgotten Broken Lizard movie.
Club Dread.
Club Dread. You could see why I mixed those up.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. It was silly and fun, very, very Broken Lizard-y, but it wasn't very good. It didn't have the same feel as these movies.
No, but absolutely love Beer Fest, and that's why it lands on my list at number two. Sir, what's your number two?
Papa. My number two, now that you took it, is going to be... I'm going to go with Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
It is the pick
of Destiny's Child. You know I'll be rocking because it's flipping insane.
It is the pick. Oh, gosh. Boy. Dude, I have asked Mark too.
To knock. It's a fucking sign, dude.
Describe why you like this movie, I don't even think it needs description.
Tenacious D is arguably the most influential and greatest band in all the world.
Sure.
And this movie was pretty much like the full-length telling of their HBO show, Tenacious D, that you may or may not know have ever existed, but it's great. I mean, it's in true Tenacious D fashion. It's insane. And it doesn't make sense, and it's grotesque and hilarious. But it's a very young Jack Black and a very young Kyle Gass doing the things that they do, and they just made it into a full-length movie fought an actual devil who was Dave Grohl. So
I'm the devil, I love metal. Yeah, and it bombed.
It bombed, but it's one of those cult favorite following movies. Like, anyone who's seen Tenacious D or likes Tenacious D likes the movie. The soundtrack is really good for a movie. Like, it's like a musical kind of, but you know, in Tenacious D style. But it's very funny and very ridiculous. And yeah, I've watched this so many times, I've lost count. But this also came in late 2006, and I remember seeing this in the theater when I was in college. In Providence, and I went to the theater and saw it, and I happened to see if you guys remember a show called Ghost Hunters, it was on Sci-Fi or whatever, but they were based out of Rhode Island, and they were very close to where I was living, and I saw the Taps van outside of the theater. They were in the movie theater watching something. But yeah, that was my story of just seeing Tenacious D in college, and I loved it so much.
And you're sticking to it.
I'm sticking to it, dude.
Well, I am about to hit three comedies in a row.
Oh, boy.
This is a movie that I didn't see in 2006. In fact, I don't think I saw this movie, gosh, probably 2020, probably COVID. I saw this movie for the first time. It's one that I always knew existed. And it's made by a guy that I respect, and I think who's made... everything that he's made has been good. I'm going to read you the first line.
Oh boy.
And maybe you'll know what I'm talking about. As of the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized, more intelligent, but as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution did not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it simply began to reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species. Obviously, I am talking about Idiocracy, a Mike Judge joint. And again, this is the movie that's always quoted as being like, is it a movie or is it reality? But also, to be fair, every time I see a Costco, I just think of a airplane inside it. And also, that's where you go to become a lawyer.
Gatorade, it's what plants crave.
It's what plants crave.
this is on my honorable mentions. Very, very, very good movie, and wildly similar to How Life Is Going Now.
I mean, Dax Shepard in an early role here. One of my favorite lines from is water, like out of the toilet.
You don't drink water.
Also, it's not Gatorade. What is it? Why am I blanking?
It's electrolytes. It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes. No, but that's not the name of the drink. God, everyone's just screaming at their, I assume,
I thought it was
old-timey radios. No, they can't use Gatorade.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Drink from Idiocracy.
Brondo.
Oh, yes.
Brondo. It's what plants crave.
It's what plants crave.
Electro.
And Terry Crews as president of America. Oh,
oh my God. Just one of the greatest portrayals of any president that's ever been put to screen. President Camacho.
It's President Camacho. Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is Justin Long was in this movie too. He played a doctor that was just like smoking in front of everyone.
Yeah, he has one of my favorite lines of the movie that I'm not going to say because it's a line that I think has actually aged well. A lot like this entire movie has, but it has a word in it that you can't say no more. So,
oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Luke Wilson, Maya Rudolph, David Herman from Office Space.
Yeah,
I mean. This movie, and like you said, Justin Long just now, just an amazing. God, I like it so much.
I like it so much.
Anyway, what's your number three?
My number three. Okay, you kind of mucked my list up there with Beer Fest, so I'm kind of doing some rearranging here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, my number three is Cars. Disney, Pixar's Cars. Because why wouldn't it be Cars?
Sure. Cars, I think, on the spectrum of Pixar movies, underrated, oddly enough.
Oh, I love it. Love this movie.
Describe why in detail.
So, if you didn't get it already, I very much enjoy Cars.
Sure.
So, I like the idea of
like Cars as an institution, you mean?
Sure. Yeah. Automobiles in general. And now, automobiles come to life.
By the way,
and racing and all that stuff. Love it.
Wilson movies back to back. Luke and then Owen in this.
Right. Oh, good call. Yeah. And this was, Pixar is amazing.
Sure.
They have a wonderful way of putting something to screen that has never been put to screen before. Generally, this movie didn't do that. But it just was so inventive with how the world was structured, like how the cars were the people and they went to service stations to eat. And like it just like it was very well thought out in true Pixar fashion. And I absolutely loved the cameo. It wasn't really a cameo because he was a pretty big part of the cast. But Paul Newman played Doc Hudson. And if no one knows who Paul Newman is he's a race car driver. But he's also the man who did Newman's own dressing.
Yeah, listen to this cast. A lot of this is cameos,
stacked,
but that's fine.
Man. It's stacked.
Bob Costas, Jeremy Piven, Richard Petty, Michael Keaton, John Ranth, John Ratzenberger, obviously, because he's in everything. George Carlin, Tony Shalhoub, Cheech Martin, Larry the Cable Guy, obviously, Bonnie Hunt, and then, as you said, Paul Newman and Owen Wilson. Also, a thing that has come out of... Let me ask you a question about cars.
For sure.
How are, in this world, new cars born?
I don't want to know.
No, because, okay, listen to me. In Robots, the weird Robin Williams movie Robots, right?
Yeah.
You order babies. Right. Which is you can listen. Actually, we did an episode, James and I, about the movie Robots. And you can listen to James pop off about how that is weird and just eugenics. But in Cars, it is not specified how a new car is made. They don't just come off a line. They are not built. Also, Cars is full of sexual innuendos. So I ask you again, how are cars made in the world of Cars?
I'm not sure, but I will say I think I remember seeing in the stands of one of the races like a child yelling at Lightning McQueen, and he kind of looked like a cozy coupe. And if you don't know what a cozy coupe is, it's a little like Fisher Price foot pedaled car for a kid. So I don't know.
Yeah, I just wrote a word in the private Discord. Can you? I'm not going to say it. Can you say it?
Through the cussy. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, Cars. What's a Disney flick.
What's your number? What's your number four?
Yep. My number four is The Departed.
Oh yeah, this is on my honorable mentions as well.
Yep. I mean, you get Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, Leonardo DiCaprio coming up a lot here, Jack Nicholson with one of his greatest performances ever, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and The Departed, basically up there. The Departed, obviously, because this is Boston.
Very Boston.
Yeah. How do you like them apples, I guess? and Martin Scorsese, who shows up a lot during these movie countdowns. But, you know, and by the way, Matt Damon. Here a lot of the time. We also have Vera Farmiga. We have Martin Sheen in this movie.
Leo DiCaprio, who also shows up a lot.
Yeah, exactly. An undercover cop and a mole in the police. Moles on either side trying to figure out who they are. Just a nail biter all the way through. Infiltrating an Irish gang in South Boston / also infiltrating the Boston police. Gosh dang. What a good movie.
This was, I remember this being must watch movie material at the time. Everyone who is anyone who wanted to be popular or cool,
popular.
Watch The Departed.
Please, if you wanted to be popular or cool, you didn't watch any movies. You just like hung out, you know,
you just stood there and looked good.
Yeah, while walking around aimlessly.
Yeah, I think this deserves a rewatch for me. It's been a long time since I've seen this movie.
Alec Baldwin in this movie as well.
Oh, yeah.
Amazed. Anyway. Yeah. That is my number four. Okay. What do you think your number four is, buddy?
What do I think it is? Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
Man.
Okay, I'm going to go with Grandma's Boy for my number four.
Wow, okay, yeah.
And I just recently rewatched this movie, and, you know, it is a stoner movie, you know. I've never been one to indulge in the devil's lettuce, Ryan, but this is a stoner movie, and I just weirdly identify with stoner movies for some reason, and I really like them. But, yes, Grandma's Boy, it hit many things that I like. It's gaming, it's having fun, it's chilling with your friends, all that stuff, creating things like... I love this movie. It's stupid. It's ridiculous, but it's another one of those movies. I will just throw it on at any time just for background noise because it's fun. And Dante's my favorite character, I think.
Yeah, of course. Played by Peter Dante. This is I believe, Happy Madison joint.
It is, yeah.
A page one rewrite by Nick Swartzen, who's also in the movie. Probably my favorite part of the movie. This also stars Alan Covert, has Linda Cardellini in it. And Joel David Moore as JP, the robot guy.
Sit on my face.
Oh man. Yeah, no, this was on my honorable mentions for sure.
And Jonah Hill was in this movie, and this was like very early in Jonah's career. And he had a lot of weight on him. He's looked totally different. This
what
is the same as Accepted, same year as Accepted.
Why is Jonah catching strays?
I mean, he looks very different now, man. He lost a ton of weight. He looks great. But like people wouldn't recognize him.
The year before, he had that tiny little role that he made great in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh,
the next year, 2006, he would be in Grandma's Boy, in Click, in Accepted, and then in 2007, like Evan Almighty, super bad and Knocked Up. Just getting it going.
He was in Evan Almighty?
Yeah, he played a man named Eugene.
I don't remember that.
I mean, I wouldn't have known that if I wasn't reading it off the internet right now, to be fair. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I am going to, and by the way, I want to point out that I have gotten my top five as my top five.
Lovely.
You didn't take one of them, dude.
Yeah, I figured as much. As soon as you took Beer Fest, it kind of threw me all over the place.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be like the only one that we shared there. But yes, yeah. My number five, after a tragic accident, two stage musicians in the 1890s London engage in a battle to create the ultimate illusion while sacrificing everything they have to outwit each other. Yes, of course, I am talking about the Christopher Nolan and Jonathan Nolan movie, The Prestige, starring Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman, as well as Scarlett Johansson, Michael Caine, David Bowie's in the movie. So I absolutely, and this movie is, you know, while M. Night Shyamalan perhaps has a special corner in the world of like cliffhangery / yeah. twist endings.
Sure.
The Prestige is pretty special in having exactly that.
I don't think I've seen this movie in, it's been so long. This is another one. Probably worth a rewatch, honestly. I probably would have picked it if I rewatched it.
No, yeah, I think it gets buried by the legacy of other popular Nolan movies. It's weirdly underrated when I think it's a near perfect movie. It's so good.
Yeah, it's... I'll be honest, I don't remember it all that much, but I did watch it when it first came out around that time period. But again, it probably worth a rewatch so I can comment on it properly, which will not be today.
No, and I want to point out, I picked, have you done your five yet? No?
No, I got one more.
Okay, so you do your five and then we'll go honorable mention.
Okay, so again, this kind of screwed me.
How so? What? The one I chose for Beer Fest, pushing it all back?
Yeah, it really did, because that was my number two. So everything, because now I'm like reassessing it in real time.
That's why you have to rank like 1 to 8, my dude.
I know. I do got to do that. I just had honorable mentions. So, okay, I'm going to go with, yeah, Jackass number two as my number five.
Why?
So Jackass, being its first movie, just Jackass itself, that has a ton of nostalgia for me. And I remember waiting for number two to come out and starting to see the merch pop up in stores and just getting so hyped for like what they're going to do next. Like, how can they top themselves again? And by the time Jackass 4 came out, which was pretty recent, Jackass 1 is so tame comparatively, and just like it's just fun seeing the evolution of those guys and what they decided to do and how to push the envelope with their shtick. But I just remember, again, going to see this in theaters with my friends, laughing until I was crying, rewatching the movie. At this point, I had like a portable DVD player, so I would, and like that was a thing. Like, what in the world? Portable DVD player, watching this movie, and again, it's a nostalgia thing. I have tons of memories with this specific movie, and love it so much.
Yeah, I mean, in this movie, Johnny Knoxville gets hit with a bull like at full speed.
Yeah.
Actually got hurt pretty badly. Yeah. This is when like Steve-O was deep within the drugs he did.
Yeah.
But I mean, and we also had, you know, RIP Ryan Dunn. Ryan Dunn was obviously Man, Chris Pontius, Bam Margera. The gang was all together and they were all still friends and they were all still alive.
But there was just some really great skits that just stick in my head, like one of my favorites, and it's like literally 3 seconds on screen. It's when Wee Man is standing on the edge of a dock and he opens up a parachute with a giant fan blowing and he skids across the water, and I laugh harder than I should at that. It's just there's so many little skits, like less than a minute, that happen so quick on screen that make me cry laughing when I rewatch this movie. Just it's just great. I love it. So it's a guilty pleasure for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just reading like from this movie, Johnny Knoxville was knocked unconscious 4 times while making it. Steve-O promised the Jackass crew that he would not do any drugs actually during the film, so I was wrong. He stayed sober during the whole film and even a little bit after the movie's release, but then eventually would relapse. Sober now, we're chill. Bam Margera got branded in the butt. He got an infection, had to be hospitalized. In fact, during the grand finale, this is sad. Should I say a sad thing on this comedy podcast? I'm not going to.
Okay.
Anyway, Jackass 2 was fun.
It was fun. All right, quickly, my honorable mentions. Click, you mentioned. Accepted, Borat.
My Wife.
And then, My Wife. And then The Departed was also on my honorable mention.
I think that is... If you out there have, when you hear the word Borat or are talking about Borat, if you don't get to like, if you don't say My Wife
or in very that nice. Accent
or very nice, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Right?
It clearly didn't affect you.
We are finite items in an infinite universe.
Jesus.
Say My Wife. You deserve it. Say it out loud right now. Say it. You're in your car. You're at work. I assume those are the only two places people to listen to podcasts. You deserve
it. We can
this.
Say it together. Ready? One.
One.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Three.
My Wife.
My Wife.
Very good. Very, very nice.
The dopamine hit I just got from the dopamine, which I assumed would never enter my brain again. But it got there.
It got there. All right, what were your final thoughts? You had some final thoughts.
Yeah, honorable mentions. I had Lucky Number 11.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Little Miss Sunshine, which is an amazing movie.
It
didn't
is.
Make it. Yep. 300. I mean, 300. A movie I probably saw.
Sparta!
Yeah, I saw that movie a lot of times that year. That that spoke to, oddly enough, at being 18 years old, I was like, oh my God, I think I want abs, actually. The Devil Wears Prada, such a good movie. The one
I
would have chosen,
they're coming out with a sequel for that. Yeah,
the one I would have chosen next actually was Night at the Museum.
A
word that I can't say that James points out a lot.
Museum. How do you say it?
Museum.
Museum.
Museum. The more I say it, the more it doesn't become a word anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But also, we got like The Pursuit of Happiness. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a sad movie. That's a
sad movie. Children of Men, Tokyo Drift.
What in the world? Rap, 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 rap.
Hit the NOS, you know? Everyone says it's bad, but X-Men The Last Stand, what are you going to do? It's a guilty pleasure movie for me.
Sure.
One that absolutely no one will bring up, but I love to death, The Scanner Darkly.
That's a great one.
One that wasn't on either of our lists, but is maybe the best movie of the year, actually, like objectively, Pan's Labyrinth.
It won the Academy Award, I think, didn't it? Or it won something.
Because it's insane.
It is insane.
Guillermo del Toro, an amazing movie. Just, I would every single time, if given the chance, between watching Pan's Labyrinth or Talladega Nights. I'm in the air right now. That can't be good.
Oh, it's Talladega Nights. Yeah, I was going to say, wait, what? Speaking of Guillermo, did you see
his... I don't know what to do with my hands. Sorry.
I don't know what to do with my hands right now. did you see the Pinocchio movie that Guillermo del Toro did?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I thought it was creepy and fun.
Yeah, I know. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. And by the way, whatever year we do, if Pacific Rim is in it, that's number one. Well, actually, wait, hold on. Let me see. Pacific Rim, what year is this in? It's in 2013. Best movies, 2013. Let's go see.
Oh, there's a bunch. There's a bunch of good ones.
Okay.
There's a bunch
Wolf
of good
of
ones.
Wall Street is up here.
Don't even say it. Don't even do it. This is going to be a year.
Inside Llewellyn Davis, Gravity,
Actually, no,
Rush. Snowpiercer?
Dude, American Hustle.
American Hustle. I don't know. Pacific Rim.
World War Z. Frozen. I mean, I'm not a Frozen fan, but Frozen.
Man of Steel, a movie nobody likes, but I like very much. Dude. Okay, yeah, no, this is becoming difficult, actually, but still, Pacific Rim. So cool.
Pacific Rim, baby.
Monsters University? Get out of here with that. Dude. 42? World War Z, I love. The Lone Ranger, so racist.
It's the Thor Dark World, bad.
Oh, Star Trek Into Darkness. Again, a movie that like...
Oh, yeah.
I love those Star Trek movies. Iron Man 3, boy, boy, boy.
The
boy,
first boy. Purge movie, which I actually kind of like the first Purge movie.
Let it go. Let it go. I can't... I gotta... I don't know how I didn't become a singer.
Yeah, you're so good. Anyway...
The Great Gatsby? Anyway, 2006. This has been a hoot. This was Counting Down Movies. This Is the End came out in 2013. Yeah, I need to stop reading this list. Because we might do that one day. So
yeah.
If you want to pick another year for us to do, please let us know on any of our socials or our private Discord, which you can get by doing exactly what Adam's about to tell you to do.
Subscribe, please. Please subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For one or more dollars a month, you can get all of these pods ad-free. You can get some exclusive recordings that we post just for all of you patrons and get into our private Discord, as Ryan has said. But please, we would like to thank our patrons. Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Howdy Dream Cowboys, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nickel, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, Filet Mignon number one. And thank you, Brent Ginn, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you so much. And please follow us on all of our social medias at the HBO Boys Pod or at the HBO Boys on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere where you can find us. And you can interact with me, like, comment, and subscribe. Give us suggestions. I would love to hear them. And yeah, just we're excited to interact with you. So let's get to it.
Howdy, Dream Cowboy. I did that for the long-term fans.
Oh, good, good, good.
Love movies. I'm going to go watch a movie right now.
R.I.P.D. came out in 2013.
That movie is straight ass.